Congressman Richie Neal, to those of us who know him and perhaps love him, from the Massachusetts 1st District, is a Democrat. He's been in office for a long time, since 1989. So, first of all, I want to talk to you about the late Galan Kariti, who died at a very early age, 63. Richie, your thoughts?
She was terrific. I talked to her sister yesterday and conveyed my personal condolences. She was energetic. I thought that she represented Northern Berkshire County with assertiveness. She was one of the first people to embrace me after the round of reapportionment that added Berkshire County to our district. And I just thought any time that I spoke with her, which was frequently, that she was always on top of her requests, and she was very, very smart and capable.
So how do you deal with something like that when somebody dies too early? What's your own philosophy about that?
Well, I think that part of what's happened in America that is underreported is just what has happened to life expectancy. And today, if one reaches 65, for example, their expectancy then probably heads toward the early 80s at minimum. And if you get to be 75, you head well into the late 80s and perhaps early 90s. So there's been this massive change in life expectancy. And I think in the case of Representative Kariti, that not only did she die too early, but when somebody like that dies that you've established a close personal relationship with, it also takes a part of you with her. And I think that, again, she was back and forth to that state house, and there's always this geographic barrier at the state house, because if you come from a community like North Adams, where there are 13,000 people, and you make that drive into Boston every day, you're spending probably 2 extra hours in the car beyond what anybody else is across the state. So I think that for her, she never lost that energy, and she never lost, incidentally, that sense of sincerity that I thought was a very important dimension to her life.
So, Richie Neal, but there are implications to what you've just said for Social Security, aren't there?
Oh, there certainly are, and I think that while the Social Security Trust Fund remains sound, there is another understanding that in the aftermath of the recession, one of the realities that we encountered was that a lot of people who lost their jobs, perhaps, and remember, at the height of the recession, we were losing 800,000 jobs a month, so people that were 61 years old, they began to draw down the benefit when they were 62. Now, the reality, again, is that you can send back, if you decide to go back to work, the benefits that you've received and, again, postpone your Social Security date. But remember that between 62 and 69, there's a 7% increase. So if you were 62 and you took the benefit and you decided to retire, not only does that mean there are fewer people in the workforce, which incidentally is tied to the worker participation rate in America, but also the fact that there was a bit of a strain on Social Security that had not been anticipated. But when you look at Social Security and the overall trust fund as certified by the trustees, Social Security still is in sound condition.
So the Republicans, as I think I understand it, continually say we have to raise the age of eligibility. What do you think?
Well, we're already doing that, and we've been doing that for a considerable period of time. So to draw the optimal benefit today, one would be 66 rather than 65, and we increase that by 1 month every year. So that's already happening, and that addresses some of the issues that relate to the Social Security Trust Fund. There was also a bump in Social Security disability requests, and I think that that was not anticipated as well, and perhaps some of that could be tied to the recession.
So now, what are we thinking about the future of both Social Security and Medicare in the way in which we address them for our elderly population?
Well, one of the things that it gives me a chance to talk about for a moment is that when Franklin Roosevelt offered Social Security in 1935, people tend to forget it was the compromise. The left wanted more and the right wanted essentially nothing. And Roosevelt devised a Social Security plan that would allow for a host of amendments. And in 1965, Lyndon Johnson, in Harry Truman's living room in Independence, Missouri, he went to sign the Medicare Act. And the Medicare Act is an amendment to the Social Security Act. And interestingly enough, although Medicaid seems to have been an afterthought at the time, Medicaid has now become the single largest provider of dollars for nursing home care in America. In fact, 60 cents on every Medicaid dollar now goes to nursing home care. So in a sense, it's become very much a middle-class initiative, much the way that Medicare and Social Security have been in the past. And I think that on the Medicare side, remember that with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, these are all linked. So the passage of the Affordable Care Act also added life by, I believe, 6 to 8 years to the Medicare trust fund. So all of these are very much linked now. And I think that the other nice part about it is they've all worked.
Indeed they have. And yet the opponents on the other side of the aisle seem to not like them that much.
Well, much of what they suggested, when you look in the rearview mirror, would have been that during the Bush years to privatize Social Security. And as you know, I led the fight against private savings accounts. And just think what would have happened had we turned the Social Security Trust Fund in those years over to Wall Street. And now the trust fund, I get you, when people say, well, it earns about 2 to 3% a year, but it is also a staple of intergenerational alliances. We know that at 30 years old, if you call Social Security and give them a date in which you expect to retire right now, at 62 to 69, then Social Security will say, well, based on your earnings, based on the quarters, based on the requirements here, we'll give you a estimate. And the nice thing about Social Security is you can't outlive it. You can outlive an annuity, but you cannot outlive Social Security. So that benefit is coming. And the other part of it, I think, that bears noting is that on Social Security, the average benefit is about $14,800 a year. So Roosevelt envisioned Social Security to be supplementary income. So you would have a pension, and then you would have a lifetime of savings that would allow you to retire in a manner that would be consistent with the lifestyle you maintained during your working years. And one of the problems now, and I try to point this out, is the revolution that has occurred in terms of the defined benefit, where we've now moved to the defined contribution. The problem is that you are more and more subjected to the whims of the economy and the growth of the stock market. And right now, for people who are in the stock market, is their retirement plan surely is vested. They've seen a pretty substantial uptick over the last few years. But remember that on the bottom of that report that you receive monthly or bi-monthly, it always says that future earnings are not guaranteed by past success. So I think that's why savings and guaranteeing the bedrock principle of Social Security for all of us should remain uncompromised.
And yet it still is under constant attack from certain Republican representatives.
Oh, it is. And I must tell you, I enjoy the debate with them because it's not based in fact. And I'm more than happy to say to them, would you please show me one annuitization program in America that can tell you that at 62, if you're going to live to be 95, that will guarantee you the same benefit. I think that's a reach and everybody knows it. But Social Security, that check is arriving at the date that it was assigned monthly.
I'm such a lucky guy because not only do I get to interview Richie Neal, a congressman from the 1st District, but I get to vote for him. Hey, that's pretty special.
Thank you.
Always wonderful to talk to Richie Neal. And when we come back the next time, let's go over small things like Russia, you know, and other things like that.
Thanks very much, Alan.